Listen closely. That's not just paint rolling on a wall. It's artistry. A master painter carefully applying Benjamin Moore Regal Select Eggshell with deftly executed strokes. The roller, lightly cradled in his hands, applying just the right amount of paint. It's like hearing poetry in motion. Benjamin Moore, see the love.
There he is, touching down in Indy. He's an Indianapolis Colt. The Falcons trade Matt Ryan to the Colts. Meanwhile, Atlanta reaches a deal with Marcus Mariota. The Falcons got a 2022 third-round pick for Ryan. It will leave a dead money charge of over $40 million this season on the club's salary cap, the largest known charge for any player all time. Mel Kiper Jr. is here. You have a new mock draft that is out today. We will get to that in just a moment, sir. Hi, Mel. Good morning. It's good to see you. I need some
Molly,
good energy.
How's Stevie doing? Is he here?
Wait, hold on. Mel, I'm glad you asked, because Stevie is wild this morning.
Hey, what's going on, Mel?
And he just came in with like a cup or a mug, and I'm nervous there's caffeine in it, because he's already at an all-time high right now.
I don't drink coffee.
Yeah, you drink tea with milk and honey.
Decaf tea with milk and honey. Okay, that's what I'm saying. Let's go.
I wish I didn't know.
That's right. I like the blazer, by the way.
Thanks. It's nice. Finally, a compliment. Mel, tell me this. Would a Super Bowl in Indy make Matt Ryan a Hall of Famer?
It could, Molly. He should have won one already when they blew that lead against the Patriots. And he's been a model of consistency. Last 10 years, he's been 65% or better. Remarkable. I love Matt Ryan. And so I would go to bat for Matt Ryan, certainly winning a Super Bowl there. And they feel like their personnel is Super Bowl caliber. But they're in the AFC, and all these quarterbacks can't win a Super Bowl. You know, multiple Super Bowls. There's going to be a lot left out of the big dance there, the Super Bowl. So it's going to be fun to watch this AFC and these quarterbacks, these great quarterbacks, compete to try to get to the ultimate goal, which is winning a Super Bowl. But I would say Matt Ryan, get a Super Bowl win in Indy, something that Phillip Rivers couldn't do, Matt Carson Wentz couldn't do, for Chris Bauer, the GM. And then I would say he's a Hall of Famer.
Well, I mean, I'm not here to disagree with you, Malcolm. Kiper Jr., the great Mel Kiper Jr. I'd never do that. But what I would say to you is that there's a couple of things that I expected you to bring up that you didn't. So I'm going to do it for you, Mel Kiper Jr. How about the fact that the man has five losing seasons on his resume? I think the number is six, by the way. And by the way, it wasn't the last 10 years at 65% or better. It was the last eight. Okay. And by the way, he's lost. Had losing seasons the last 4 years. So what I would ask you, Mel Kiper Jr., because I'm just curious about it. I'm just curious. And by the way, I just got my computer in front of me. That's all it is. I damn sure didn't know it. I had to look it up. Yeah. The bottom line is this, Mel Kiper Jr. Do you feel that way about Eli Manning as well, who's got two Super Bowl championships, but outside of that was missing the playoffs every damn year? I mean, what are we to make of what qualifies you as a Hall of Fame quarterback, sir? I'm going to defer to your expertise.
Well, I got 10 years on my sheet for Matt Ryan, so that's good enough for me. I don't know what stats. So I know MVP one year. I got a high percentage for 10 years, so I'll just go with that. I think Eli winning the two Super Bowls, beating Bill Belichick and Tom Brady twice, okay? Mm-hmm. Doing what he did for Tom Coughlin as the head coach, beating the greatest head coach, greatest quarterback, puts Eli Manning in the Hall of Fame. That's a given, okay? Then you look at Matt Ryan. I said he has to win a Super Bowl. It's not the Hall of Very Good, Peter King has always said, the Hall of Very Good or the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Matt Ryan needs to win that Super Bowl. That's what I said, Stephen A. Right now, no, not sufficient, even though he's had a heck of a career, not sufficient unless with this Indy team, the personnel, with the running game with Taylor, they got to fix that left tackle spot, get another receiver. There were some things that went wrong for Carson Wentz that he should be defended on, okay? That's why he could be pretty good in Washington. But for this football team, for Matt Ryan, get a Super Bowl win, then you're in the Hall of Fame.
Well, first of all, I'm convinced. Yeah. I can't argue with Mel Kiper Jr. And then on top of it all, he's right, because I'm looking at my numbers again. I missed the last couple of years, 65 and 67%. Yeah. So Mel Kiper Jr. was right. It was 10 years,
shocking,
not 8.
Hey, can I piggyback on that too? how was Atlanta's defense for Matt Ryan all these years?
Well, right? Listen.
So that's enough.
I just hold up. The biggest thing I hold against Matt Ryan is the fact that you had a 28-3 lead and y'all kept throwing the damn football instead of milking the clock and running the football and trying to stop the bleeding that was clearly transpiring. You didn't do anything and you had the cachet. You weren't some rookie or novice young quarterback that didn't have the cachet to tell Quinn or Kyle Shanahan, no, we're not doing that any longer. We need to chew off some of this clock because, damn it, that's Tom Brady on the other side.
And the greatest coach of all time in Bill Belichick, or that's Bill Belichick, as someone calls him. Hey, Mel, before we get into the Saints real quick, I think you did your last mock draft about a month ago before the combine. Any major changes this time around?
Not major, I think, when you look at the quarterbacks. That's the tough part, Molly and Stephen. Mm-hmm. Where do you put the quarterbacks? And there are very few teams, Pittsburgh being the only one, that say, we really have to draft a quarterback. And Malik Willis, will he be there? I was struggling with Carolina. I was struggling with Atlanta and Seattle. Is somebody going to overdraft? It happens every year at the quarterback position. And if you're going to do that, guys, you would do it for Malik Willis. He's kind of a right-handed version of Michael Vick. He's got that compact, strong, powerful frame. He's got the rocket arm. He's got incredible running ability. He's got incredible character. A phenomenal young man.
What about accuracy?
I think Malik Willis, if I'm one of those teams, that's the guy I would roll the dice for. I'd roll the dice on talent. He has the most talent of any quarterback in this draft.
Two questions. Number one, what about his accuracy? How are you feeling about his accuracy, Mel?
I have no problem with his accuracy. I think he's the kind of guy, he tried to do a little too much in a couple games when I watched. Okay. He was playing against teams where he had to make a play, throws three picks against Middle Tennessee State, three against Louisiana Monroe, after being red hot the first 5 weeks. Team was struggling. He was trying to force things. Malik Willis will get better. I think he's the kind of guy that in another 2-3 years will be really hitting his stride, where initially is going to be a little bit of a transition period. But what we found, guys, is talent in the NFL with Justin Herbert, third quarterback taken his year. Josh Allen, third quarterback taken his year. Talent has won out big time, and Malik Willis has awesome, awesome ability.
Mel, as an aside, I gotta ask, I couldn't wait to see you just to ask you this question I'm about to ask you. Deshaun Watson goes to Cleveland. I want to know, and now Matt Ryan is in Indy. I want to know which team you believed were the ideal landing spots for those two guys. I know where they are. Where would you have preferred to see Deshaun Watson? Where would you have preferred to see Matt Ryan, if any place else at all?
I love Matt Ryan going to Indy. Phillip Rivers had him in the playoffs. Carson Wentz almost had him in the playoffs. By the way, that defense gave up a touchdown on that first drive of the game to the Jacksonville Jaguars in a game they needed to lock down the young quarterback. But I think when you look at the AFC in general, it's like this conference is loaded, from Josh Allen to Patrick Mahomes to Justin Herbert. Now the list keeps going on and on and on. Like I said, it's going to be fun to watch, to try to predict which teams it's going to come together for. And Deshaun Watson may have a suspension. It's going to be with all new guys. We'll see how that all plays out. I had Cleveland in the Super Bowl last year. It didn't work out. Now Baker Mayfield's getting kicked to the curb after he almost had the Browns in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. This is a crazy league for quarterbacks. Patience at an all-time low. It's ridiculous how they're handing quarterbacks. I made a point yesterday on a podcast with Field Yates. The NFL is clueless when it comes to evaluating quarterbacks. That's been proven time and time again. It's not going to change. They are clueless in terms of how to evaluate quarterbacks. Not only once they're in the league, coming out of college, once they're in the NFL, they have no idea.
Wow. And that's a hot take right there, Mel. But I want to switch to the wide receiver position. How do you think the Packers should approach the draft to replace Devontae Adams?
Attack it hard, because this is the year. They haven't done it for Aaron ever, right? So you know, if you go by what they've done, you say they're not going to take a receiver. They better, because this receiver core in this class is strong and it's deep. I said yesterday 2-3 minimum in this draft. I think you look at Sky Moore from Western Michigan, the most underrated player in this draft. Heck of a player. I look at Steve Smith, went with the third round when he came out. Great, great football player. The guy you want on your team. Sky Moore, stiff arm, great after the catch. Just a baller. Sky Moore can play for me any day of the week out of Western Michigan. You can probably get him in the second round. There's going to be other receivers going the first ahead of him. I have Treylon Burks going to Green Bay. I have Kenyon Green, offensive lineman out of Texas A&M, going there to help Aaron Rodgers. He's a guard. He's nasty, and he can kick the tackle in a pinch and do an adequate job. I think if they get the O-lineman and Green and a receiver like Burks and augment that and with a guy like Sky Moore and some others, then all of a sudden I think Aaron Rodgers will be pretty happy.
All right.
I'll wrap it up by repeating what you said. The league is clueless when it comes to evaluating quarterbacks, and we have seen it time and time again. You know who is not, though? Mel Kiper Jr.
The man.
Mel.
The myth. The legend.
Yes, thank you for being with us, and can't wait to see you in person in Vegas.
Steven, Vegas, come to the studio in Vegas, Mel. Don't big time us, Mel. Come to the studio, man.
Not just the big stage draft night, the early mornings with us. Stephen A. will bring you a tea.
I will.
Milk and honey.
I'll go get it myself, Mel. I'll go get it myself.
No, now that's a lie.
I swear.
Wait, Mel, I can prove it time and time again. That is a lie.
I would
Mel,
go we'll get talk you, to you a soon. Drink. I would do that.
That has never happened in 6 years.
You never asked.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Yeah, because I can never get myself my own drink.
I would do that for her, Mel.
Good luck, Molly.
Yeah, good luck. Pray for me. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Quick digs, let's go. JJ, this is for you. Your Duke Blue Devils heading to the Sweet 16 after narrowly defeating Tom Izzo and Michigan State. Do you feel good about them reaching the Final Four? Young squad.
I've been a Duke fan for 30 years, since 1992. I don't know if I've ever been as disappointed as I was in the UNC loss and Coach K's last home game and the ACC championship game against Virginia Tech. However, they showed me something against Michigan State. That was the best I've seen that team play since the Gonzaga game earlier in the season. So do I like their chances? I do like their chances to make the Final Four, and I'm always going to pick Duke.
Right.
I filled out a bracket. I made it public. Right. Duke was my team. Come on, I'm always going to pick Duke.
I just saw who my Final Four was. Kentucky's already out. I had Texas Tech. Obviously in there, Arizona up in there, and Auburn. So we'll see what happens. I want to say this about Duke. This kid, Vanquero, I'm a fan. I am a total fan. And I'm only going to speak for myself here. He is just is even keel. Mm-hmm. I saw him against Michigan the other day elevate his level of emotion.
Yeah.
That, my brother, if you want to really, really shine on the next level, because he's got the skills.
Yeah.
He's got the game. Okay? He's got the, he just needs to be more assertive and a bit more. He's got to show a bit more fervor. And I think for Duke to win the national title, he's going to need to do that.
No question.
I think he's going to need to do that. So step your game up, but emotionally. He needs to go after it because the skill is there.
Yeah.
I love his game, and I know you love, what's his kid, Williams?
Mark Williams. He's going to be an elite defensive center at the next level.
Not a problem. I'm not denying that. But this kid, Vanquero, has got a chance. But you got to elevate your level of fervor. You got to go after it and take it. He's at that point now. You got a national championship on the line. Y'all in win the ACC championship.
ACC regular season.
Yeah. Well,
and that's why JJ was disappointed.
I don't know that there's a banner getting hung for that. Yeah. I don't know how they do that anymore. Yeah.
Exactly. You talked about disappointment in a couple of games. Yeah. Kyrie is also a little disappointed, gentlemen. That's where I want to go now. Kevin Durant dropped 37 in Brooklyn, beat the Jazz last night at Barclays. Still no Kyrie when the team plays in New York, but no problem for the Nets, who have now won their last 6 of 7 games. The Nets right now are hanging on to that 8th spot with the Hornets on their heels. Yesterday at shootaround, Durant talked about Kyrie still not being able to play due to the vaccine mandate.
He's just frustrated and not being able to play, and you know, you figured this stuff would be rolled back by now and we'd be way past this, but it's a situation we're in. We got to deal with it. He's got to deal with it, and I'm trusting that it'll get figured out here soon. I have no clue what may happen, but I'm just trusting that things will work itself out. But I'm sure he misses playing in front of the home crowd, and the home crowd and vice versa, they miss him. So hopefully we get it figured out soon.
All right, Monica, back here with us. We'll get to you in just a minute. Stephen A., do you think Kyrie should be frustrated?
Yeah, with himself. He's got to point the finger at him. Listen, one of the things that's made me incredibly uncomfortable about talking about this whole vaccine thing is that I prided myself in all my years of covering the NBA. There was a time when people would get into folks' personal stuff. I've never been about that. Your personal life is your business. I'm about what you do on the basketball court. There's a lot of things, as you can imagine, I've seen off the court. And I turn a blind eye and a deaf ear to it. Ain't none of my damn business. I don't roll like that. I want to talk about the game. In Kyrie's case, you have no choice but to expand a bit beyond it, because it's directly affecting his availability to play the game. And what really irks my nerves, I'm old school, bro, and I'm never going to apologize. And Monica, I'm sorry. I'm old school from this perspective. Do you think for one second that Kyrie would have been able to get away with this if he was playing in the 80s and the 90s with some of those cats? It'd have been a problem. Why? Because they would have been like, yo, we had to take it if we want to play. What the hell you mean you ain't going to be ready? Because we can say it's about the vaccine, and from a literal perspective, sure, it's about the vaccine mandate from a literal perspective. But theoretically speaking, we're looking at it, we would look at it like, we did it. What you doing? Okay, damn it, I didn't want to, you know, KD, I didn't want to take it. Or Harden or somebody, I didn't want to take it. Well, a host of players, and you know better than me, there's a host of players that didn't want any parts of the vaccine. That's why you had some people taking the Johnson & Johnson vaccine instead of Moderna or Pfizer, because it's only one shot. You see what I'm saying? And by the way, that only protects you to some degree, but not to the degree that Pfizer and Moderna protects you. This is what the medical professionals told me. Please don't hold me accountable. And by the way, just as an aside, folks, they said that if you took two shots of Pfizer, the booster should be Moderna. If you took two shots of Moderna, the booster should be Pfizer. They said that makes it, you know, close to foolproof that, you know, you're inoculated to some degree. All I'm saying to you is this. All those things being taken into consideration, you would have had a problem, because we all doing it, but you going to say you ain't doing it. So you with us or you not? And what bothers me is I haven't heard one single player, including KD, remotely come close to uttering, no, you don't want to call your teammate out. You certainly don't want to entertain it in the public. You want to protect that. I got that. I totally got that. But damn. To go the opposite direction where you're so vehement against, as bogus as the mandate is at this point. The problem is you've been that way since the beginning of the season. And we've seen that we see players going up to Kyrie, you're hugging them, you're loving on them, you get, you know, like you're proud of them. Like you're proud of them. And I'm like, I'm thinking, what about the chip? What about this championship we're supposed to be going for? What are we doing? Because the playoffs are about to approach. And if Kyrie ain't available and Brooklyn loses because he's not there, I'm just curious, what are people going to say then? I know what I'm going to say. I'm going to say the same thing publicly that I've said privately. You cost him the chip. Live with that. You're right. You're doing what you need to do for you. But for the team, for that chip, nah, you passed on that. And that's what I'm going to remember. If Brooklyn loses and that brother's on the sidelines instead of, I'm not going to think about Mayor Adams. I'm not going to think about the bogus mandate, because it is bogus. They should lift it and he should be allowed to play right now. He should not be allowed. He should not be denied to play. But in the end, I'm still going to look at him and go like this. You cost Brooklyn the championship. Because with Kyrie Irving, I believe they can win it. That's where I'm at, JJ. Monica, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't disagree, Stephen A. And I agree with you in trying to give folks room to be who they are. But in this situation, you can't help but think how simple the solution could be, right? I also think that when it was first announced that the Nets would allow Kyrie to be a part-time player, I think there's frustration to go around. I mean, Kyrie Irving on the floor is always better than Kyrie Irving not on the floor. However, perhaps it is even less of a tease and less frustrating if this door had never been opened in the first place by the Nets. And so there's a lot here. I agree with you at this point. The mandate is bogus. The solution seems to be simple. Because to your point, now, even if it's just one, right? And so whatever the relationship between KD and Kyrie is that seems to be unique and maybe different from relationships that Kyrie has had with past teammates, I hope that is enough to help them take advantage of this window, because I do think that there's a window beyond just this year. And to your point about a teammate joking, former teammate James Harden did joke. At this point, I'm going to just give him a shot once upon a time in a press conference. And so we do know that it has caused some dissension behind the scenes. But to me, the solution seems to be simple, JJ.
No, I agree. The solution is simple. And whether you agree or not with the mandate is in place. Right. And it is in place to protect our community here in New York.
Right.
We're talking about millions of city and private employees. So there's no way that Kyrie should be granted an exception.
I agree.
So his frustration should not be that I can't get an exception. There is an argument to be made that he should be frustrated at some of the illogical byproducts of this mandate, i.e., he can attend games, but he can't play. Right. Maskless, by the way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That unvaccinated visiting players
can play.
Can play. I agree with Stephen A. to the point he had a decision. We all had to make that decision. 98% of his peers made the decision to get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. City employees all over New York City, private employees all over New York City, they made the decision to get vaccinated so that they could do their job.
Where I'm coming to, and I apologize if this in any way puts you on the spot, but as a former player, we both know there are numerous players in the NBA who did not want to take that shot. But they took it because I want to play ball. I'm trying to win a championship. And I want to collect this check, too, now. If he were your teammate, how would you feel if you took the shot and he didn't?
Wow, what a spot he's putting me on here.
No, you don't have to answer, because I understand. I'll answer it, but you don't have to.
I'll answer it this way.
Okay.
I've been in a bunch of different locker rooms, played 15 years.
Right.
I've always been direct with my teammates.
Okay.
And my teammates, whether it was in Orlando, Philly, L.A., New Orleans, I've always been direct with my teammates. And I would be direct with Kyrie as his teammate. And I would feel frustrated that we didn't get a chance to potentially win a championship because he was unwilling to get vaccinated. I would be frustrated.
Right.
Yeah, I think anybody would be frustrated to some degree. I would respect his personal choice, but choices have consequences.
Yeah, choices have consequences. And this is what I want to say right in front of you. Listen, again, I'm not about the personal, man. Your personal business, like, you know, I get mad. Like, I remember one time I got, you know, John Wall and I, you know, we're pretty cool now, but, we had a difference of opinion because he had found himself in a precarious situation. And I said something about it on the air. And what bothered me about it is that people were treating me like I revealed it when, in fact, it was TMZ. And all I said is you can't have TMZ, blah, 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 because TMZ had publicized it. James Harden, somebody called me about that the other day because we were talking about James Harden after he got blown out by Brooklyn. He partying at the club. I had a problem with it, but I didn't reveal it. My point was TMZ revealed it. Why are you getting spotted by TMZ? I wouldn't have never said anything. I could have walked in the damn club and I would have walked on the air the next morning. I wouldn't have said a word. I'm not going to sit up there and say that Kevin Durant should call out Kyrie or any player should. I'm not trying to imply that. What I'm saying is at the end of the day, we're talking ball. We got a championship to pursue. Next season's not guaranteed. Listen to the language, Monica, JJ, coming out of their mouth. Well, you know, this ain't the window. The window don't close. If we don't win it this year, we got next year. I'm sorry. I thought we were living in a world where we recognize tomorrow ain't guaranteed. You could go out in the street. Something could happen to you tomorrow. Moments matter. And the fact that that gets shoved aside, and the priority of the moment is diminished and disincentivized to some degree, rakes my damn nerves. Because when people are walking through the turnstiles to see Barkley, you saw the explosion Kyrie Irving put on display. Y'all understand that the Barclays Center hasn't seen that this year, right? We've seen him in street clothes, watching when they played Dallas. We saw him in street clothes, watching their game. I think it wasn't Dallas, it was somebody else. I forgot who they played. We saw him at the Duke game. But the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York, which Kyrie Irving convinced everybody to come play at, Kyrie Irving ain't available at all. You can't see him. And we want to point the finger. Listen,
I'll place a call to Mayor Adams on Kyrie's behalf. It ain't even about Kyrie. I think the mandate is bogus. They need to lift it, period. Okay? I'll make that call. I don't think it'll matter because Eric Adams is the man. He's got bigger fish to fry. But the point is, we support Kyrie's position in terms of what the mandate stands for at this particular moment in time. It does not absolve him and what he has elected to do and how incredibly selfish that decision is. And the fact that NBA players walk around treating him like he is somehow victimized, to me, I'm lost because I don't understand how everybody can sit up there and go like, and ignore the fact, yo, bro, we trying to win a championship and you ain't playing when most of us are vaccinated.
I don't get the sense that people have treated him like he's been victimized. I don't get the sense that
I'm just
from NBA, but I don't get the sense
that. If you watch the games, I'm just talking about how they come up to him after the game. They show him a lot of love and affection. They show him a lot of love and affection.
That's because he's Kai.
He is a nice guy. He's not a bad guy.
Yeah, I think it's just friendly. I think it's just friendly.
Okay.
I will say, just to slightly make it every day, right? JJ, I loved your answer about as a former athlete, but I think I don't know, Stephen A. Even within our families, our friend groups, you got people, you get on my nerves. You can't come because you're not vaccinated, but I still love you, right? Like, I just think that this has played out publicly, and I have a hard time believing, to JJ's point, that behind the scenes, one of his teammates has not. Yeah. Been like, yo, dog, like, publicly, you my guy, you my teammate, but you bugging. And so I just think there's that in-locker-room conversation and then portrayed publicly.
That's fair. But in the end, we all have to conclude, if the Brooklyn Nets don't win the championship this year and Kyrie is not on the court when it happens, Kyrie Irving cost the Brooklyn Nets a championship. You can make that argument. Yeah.
It's certainly a missed opportunity. All right.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
To football we go. Urban Meyer's short stay in Jacksonville did not go very well. The college coaching legend lasted just 13 games before being fired. Forget about all the losses. The reports say there was dysfunction all around, from threatening his coaching staff to being caught at a bar after a loss, getting too close to a woman who is not his wife, for which he had to issue a public apology. And the more we hear, the worse it gets. Yesterday, The Athletic released a story detailing Meyer's disastrous year with the Jaguars, in which one football operations staff member called the most toxic environment I've ever been a part of. Among the many incidents in the story was this one involving Trevor Lawrence and John Brown, saying not long after veteran receiver Brown signed with the Jaguars as a free agent, he ran the wrong route in practice. To correct the mistake, Brown, who's from Florida, and rookie quarterback Trevor Lawrence ran through the route again after practice. Meyer walked up to the pair. Hey, Trevor, you got to slow down for him, Meyer said, according to sources. These boys from the South, their transcripts ain't right. Marcus Spears back here with us. And Marcus, this Brown incident, just one of many in the Athletic article, which also cited sources saying Meyer was unfamiliar with star players around the NFL, including Aaron Donald. I don't know if I call Aaron Donald a star, but he's like
who's number 99?
The star, right?
Who's number 99?
Unbelievable. Marcus, there's a lot to unpack here. Are you surprised by what this story revealed?
No, I'm not surprised. It's incompetence. And we saw Urban Meyer come into Jacksonville incompetent and not knowing what to do based on his hiring, based on the history of some of the coaches that he's been around, based on the Zach Smith incident at Ohio State. Like, this article, it's only more evidence to let people know Urban Meyer is who Urban Meyer is. And I think when we start seeing these things, and see, this is what Urban Meyer didn't realize and understand, is that when you get to this level, as far as the NFL, you're dealing with grown men. You're dealing with grown men also in the media that has a platform and a microphone every single day, like Stephen A., to go and digest and talk about every single move that you're making that is either crazy, that is out of order, or on the flip side, when you're doing a tremendous job. And he could not handle that part of it. Number one, we all know that based on his responses to not getting on airplanes to go back home with his team because the pressure had become too much and he needed a break or a reprieve. But also when he hired, the things we heard from players in Jacksonville. And that's the big thing that everybody talks about when college coaches come out. You're dealing with grown men. And also some of those grown men paycheck is more than yours on those rosters. Mm-hmm. They also have credibility throughout the league before you come on as a head coach. The difference in college is I run everything. I'm the head honcho. I can say what I want to say, do what I want to do. We in a market where we can hide things and some things will go under the radar. Urban Meyer didn't realize he was no longer at the University of Florida or he wasn't at Ohio State. He didn't realize he was in a grown man league. And when grown men don't respect you as a head coach in the NFL, that's a wrap for you. And that's why when this season was going along, and the owner, Shai Khan, was talking about, well, we're going to take our time and really investigate this. It was already over. When you lose a locker room in the NFL, and Stephen A. knows this as well as anybody, because I talk to him about it all the time. Once you lose the locker room as a player or a coach, it's over. There is nothing else you can do. We had this conversation about Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. We had this conversation about guys going into locker rooms, Baker Mayfield, thinking that this was the same as college and you can have the same approach. It is not. Mm-hmm. Once dudes' mentality are foregone on you as a head coach, that's right. A wrap. Well, but Urban Meyer, the person, is summed up in this article.
I disagree with you. And let me tell you why I disagree with you, Swaggoo. You keep saying Urban Meyer didn't know. You're wrong. He knew. Mm. He just thought he was big enough to get away with it. There's a difference.
So naive.
He wasn't clueless. He wasn't oblivious. It was nothing like that. What he was a man that inherited a Jacksonville Jaguars franchise that had only been to the postseason one time since 2007. That was in 2017 when they went to the AFC Championship game. What happened? Mm-hmm. And let me show you the elevated level of stupidity that comes with Urban Meyer. What happened in the regime that preceded Urban Meyer? There was an individual there by the name of Tom Coughlin.
Tom Coughlin.
Who was a two-time Super Bowl champion who alienated his roster. Jalen Ramsey went wanted out of there. Calais Campbell and others, they all fought. You got cats that wanted the hell up out of there because of how this man was. And we came to find out Jalen Ramsey was telling the truth with a lot of things he was saying about the culture that existed in Jacksonville because of Tom Coughlin. Urban Meyer knew about that. Now, I know Doug Marrone came after and all of this other stuff, but you know, he was there under Coughlin. He stayed a little while longer. But the point is, it was the Coughlin era.
Yeah.
It was the Coughlin era, okay? Urban Meyer knew that. So there's no way he didn't know. There's no way that he was oblivious. He thought he was above it. When we talk about people in positions of power, what are one of the main things we lament? Entitlement. How you feel,
yep.
You above the fray, fully knowledgeable about things that are applicable to everybody else, but you're going to be different. You're going to be different because of you, the Urban Meyer that was 65-15 at Florida. And then you went 83-9 at Ohio State. And over the course of your career, you won three national titles. Okay. And you went in the Final Four of the college football playoffs and you did all of these things. So, he comes to the pro level, and Shad Khan gives him all the power. You know, he gave him the same power he had at a college program. And that's what happened. He had the power.
Go ahead.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Because I agree with you to some level. Do you think he was oblivious to the accountability?
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Yes, you're right about that.
Okay.
Not from the players. Not from the players. See,
right,
he was placed. This is why what Urban Meyer has done is now ruin it for any superstar college football coach hoping to be on the NFL level. So you can stay in college.
That's a good point.
If you have never been on a pro level and you are an elite college football coach hoping to land an NFL job, it's over. Urban Meyer has done ruined it for your entire culture. Okay, it's on. It's done. You'll never get that. Because this man thought that he could get away with it. Now, here's the real question, and it's a facetious one. It's a rhetorical one. If Urban Meyer thought he could get away with this stuff on the NFL level, what was he doing?
Oh, Lord, what happened in college?
What was he doing to those players? Where he really did have that power. Urban, do y'all understand? Do you understand, Marcus, everything that Urban Meyer was accused of? Do you understand that there's no way he would lose his job in college football? If those things came to light, he'd still keep his job in college football.
That's why I asked you that question. Was he oblivious to the accountability?
Right.
Because to your point, you said something that struck a chord with me. When you are operating without accountability, that becomes your norm.
That's right.
That becomes the things that you think you can do. So his warped idea of how to coach or how to be a coach carried over into the NFL, and he did not realize the consequences or the accountability that comes along with that. That's why I brought guys like you up who have a microphone every day that millions and millions upon people are going to listen to. And when you divulge information, it's going to be approached as gospel.
Yeah.
And when Urban Meyer was in that position in Jacksonville and he thought he could operate like he's been up to your point, he's been operating. Like, this didn't happen when he got to Jacksonville where he thought he had this level of aptitude and ownership and responsibility over a franchise where he could do things without having anybody call him out. So I believe, honestly, in the depths of my soul, that Urban Meyer was oblivious to the type of accountability and the type of heat you would receive by the way he was acting.
Based on that explanation, I get you. I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but one other thing I just want to add. So he would always threaten to cut or fire people, but then he'd take it a step further and tell them that they couldn't even get a job making $15 an hour if they didn't play football. That's really motivating.
How about kicking his kicker?
Oh, you're right.
Thought about that one.
Yes, that's a whole different animal.
Yes.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Joe Burrow should be pretty happy with his offseason. The Bengals shoring up the offensive line that last season allowed 7 sacks in the Super Bowl, tying the mark for the most ever
in the big game, and he's still at a good game. Former Cowboys tackle Leo Collins is heading to Cincy after signing a 3-year deal. Collins already ready for the assignment.
The last 2 days have been great. I'm just excited about getting to work, getting here, protecting Joe. I just talked to him a little while ago. You know, I told him, he asked me, say, deal done with a lot of question marks. And I was like, I said, your new bodyguard's in town. Nobody's touching you.
Stephen A., we know what Joe Burrow can do when he's protected, right? He had a second best completion percentage in the league under only Aaron Rodgers.
Before Before your question comes in,
yeah.
I love Leo Collins. Mm-hmm. The brother can ball. That's a lie. People touched Dak Prescott, and they're going to touch Joe Burrow. Nobody's touching you? That is a hyperbolic statement that will prove to be incorrect. He will be better protected because Leo Collins is no joke. But
okay,
stop.
But three new O-linemen that each signed a 3-year deal. So they're trying to take care of the guy.
They're
they know what they
to
have.
Take care of him. Good
you
for
think
them.
He's going to have an even better season than last year based on this alone?
I think he has no choice. I think Joe Burrow is a star in this league, and I think Jamar Chase is a star in this league, and I think T. Higgins and Mixon and those boys can absolutely ball, and the Bengals are absolutely doing the right thing by acquiring the three individuals that they acquired to protect him. More props to them. I expect him to have a stellar season. I expect him to prove that he's one of the top five quarterbacks in the National Football League. Obviously, Brady, Rodgers, Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow is right there in that discussion as far as I'm concerned. No doubt about it. But I still need to see Cincinnati prove to me that last year wasn't a fluke, because they could have easily lost that game to Tennessee. No question about it. If Ryan Tannehill had showed up, they could have lost to Tennessee.
They could have also won the Super Bowl. So
he's a combination of players. I feel. I think the greatest players in our game can transform into anybody at any given point. And I think Ja's on the way to that. I mean, I see, like, when he's playing, I see, like, 2 or 3, 4 different Hall of Famers in his game, you know, from Iverson to he might make a Jordan-like layup, or he might run down the court like a Westbrook or a D-Rose. And I don't want to gas him up too much since we're playing against him, but you got a future Hall of Famer at the head of the snake. You know, he just makes everybody better.
Reaction? Future Hall of Famer? Too soon?
It may be too soon, but from a talent evaluation perspective, KD was right on the money. Ja Morant is all those things. I see a little Iverson in him. I see some of his finishes at the basket that are Jordan-esque. I definitely see Derrick Rose and Russell Westbrook in him, because he's got that kind of locomotive and that kind of athletic ability. Ja Morant is a sensational talent, and the NBA countdown crew is coming to Memphis, Tennessee tomorrow, because Ja Morant summoned us. He said, what about us? We climbing up the chimney. We want all the smoke. We heard him loud and clear, and Memphis is going to be a top 2 seed in all likelihood in the Western Conference, and Ja Morant is a league MVP candidate. He is a sensational talent. And even though Memphis is a damn good team, I'm very impressed with what I've seen from them. I like Bane. I like Jaren Jackson. Hell, I still love Steven Adams more even now. I love what I'm seeing from these crew. But we are coming to Memphis because of Ja Morant.
I love it.
There ain't no way in hell I'm coming to Memphis if it wasn't for Ja Morant. That's why I'm coming to town.
Yeah.
And I can't wait.
Yeah, and Mad Dog Russo is coming here tomorrow.
He'll be here. I'll be in Memphis.
Hey, did you see LeBron's dunk last night?
Of course I did.
Well, I'm going to show it to you.
It was nice. It was nice.
Really? That's all you got for
it? It was nice. It was a good dunk.
It was nice?
It was a good dunk.
Okay.
His head was at the rim at age 37 in his 19th league. Sensational. But that is not a better dunk than this one I'm about to show you right now.
Let's see it.
This is nice. Look at this one coming up.
Hold on.
I need a different angle, y'all. Where's the sound for this? Oh! Now that's a dunk, damn it. That's better. That dunk on Nurkic years ago.
How many years ago was that?
About 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
LeBron! Remember that call? Oh, that dunk right there. Now that was better than last night's dunk. You understand? Where's the sound for this? Damn, I wish we had the sound. It was a great call, too.
Don't worry, you gave the sound. The sound was soft.
LeBron! That's exactly what the announcer said. And it's dessert. Look at
Hey, did you hear Magic's feeling optimistic about the Lakers now after last night? Did you see his tweet?
Magic's optimistic about a lot of things these days. Just like he's optimistic about him having the impact over me when he shows up in studio on First Take April 4th. Did I tell you that I'm going to be on vacation? So I'm coming back that day.
Oh.
He's coming against arrested Stephen A. Arrested Stephen A. Magic's in trouble.
So you're going to be
Magic's
like you're going to be like Kyrie.
Magic's
put on a real show?
Magic's
in
trouble. Well, listen, okay. Kyrie does put on a show. I can't front.